This is VSiN Prime Time. Live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Check out the Sportsbook here at Circa, world's largest sportsbook, and it is packed tonight. NBA Finals Game 6. And it's great to see Will Hill. You got a lot of bettors out there walking around here at halftime. Pacers up 64-42. Just stepped outside the studio during the commercial break. It is jam-packed out there tonight. And, Will, there's not going to be many nights like this the rest of the summer. So it's great to see a standing-room-only crowd here for the Thunder Pacers tonight. And it's mostly Pacers. 22-point lead at the half. And they are rolling to forcing a Game 7 on Sunday night.
We can hold off on our preview of the Hall of Fame game between the Lions and the Chargers for at least another night or two. Maybe we'll sit here tomorrow night and preview a Game 7. It seems like we will. I wonder how many of those bettors, I'm sure people coming out to bet the game, watch the game, sweat it all together. I wonder how many people, I'm sure there's a couple people in that sportsbook right now that have OKC futures in their pockets saying, you know what, once this game ends, I can cash these title futures and be on my way. And they're going to have to wait to cash those at least a few more days, if at all. So, you know, I thought you and I thought the Pacers were live here, and I don't think either of us thought they'd be up by 22. We would have bet a lot more. We would have bet the money line. We would have done, you know, a number of different things. And not to say the game is over, but certainly feels like this is a tall, tall task for OKC, to say the least here.
Well, again, I'll make the point. It's a young team, and a young team can be immature at times. They don't have experience closing series out like this very often. And, Will, we saw it when they were up 2-0 and they went to Minnesota and lost by 40. Right, in the Western Conference Finals. This Thunder team can come out flat at times, and they don't have the three ball to pick them up when things aren't going right. Tonight at halftime, Thunder 1-for-11 from three. It's just, I think it's another step on the learning curve for this OKC team. It's never easy to close out a series on the road, and they're finding that out tonight. I don't know if they thought it was going to be easy, but it's not. They're down 22. Will, I was watching a VSiN show earlier today, just for a couple minutes. I flipped it on, and I see the two hosts say, I expect those KC to close it out tonight. I know you do, too. Yep. Why do people just dismiss the Pacers throughout this series? Like, they're a bunch of chumps, and the OKC was going to be the champs without much of a sweat.
Yeah, I mean, look, I've been, I think, guilty of underestimating the Pacers. Certainly at times I thought the Knicks would beat them in seven. I thought OKC would have a pretty easy time of this, so I'm certainly guilty of it. But, you know, I've come around to the point where game four, game six here, look, you can only put your hand on the stove so many times when you get burned before you're afraid to touch it again. I've been terrified of laying points against this team, especially in their own building. I liked OKC in game five, but this team is tough. They're resilient. Even game five, when they're down by 18, you look up, they cut it to two. They're just, and you say this with affection as a compliment, they're a cockroach. They're just hard to kill. I think Bill Simmons has made the point. They're Michael Myers from the horror movies. You shoot them, you stab them, you throw them off building, and it looks like you killed them, and they get up, and they're wobbly, and the next thing you know, they're chasing you. So give them all the credit in the world. And again, we don't want to, you know, declare this game over yet, but if we do get a game seven, you'd probably have to make the line a little bit lower than previous games at OKC, just because it's a game seven, probably a lower total.
Yes.
Indy off a good performance. So not quite, was it 9.5 last time? Maybe 8.5, 9. You can't make it too low, but you probably shave a point off the spread just because the total. That's another good question. This one closed, what, 223 or so, 222.5? You got to open the game seven final a few points lower, right? 218, 219 in that range. Does that make sense?
That makes a lot of sense. I was thinking the same thing. What's the game seven number going to be? Because you're going to be able to put it up here pretty soon, you would think, unless the Thunder go on a big rally here in the third quarter. I would make it OKC 8.5 total, 220. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe you make it 218.5. I don't know. I'd probably go 8.5, 220 with an opener and see where the money shows up.
People bet the under. Huh? Pros are going to bet the under game seven. I mean, that's just very rarely do you see a game seven where, you know, the opener doesn't take money on the under and close a couple points lower.
You know what? I agree with that, too. Game one of this series, Will, the total actually peaked at 231.5 pregame. Remember that? Yeah. We were talking about that. So now you're talking about, already we're talking about like an 11-point adjustment I think it closed 230.5. So you could say 10.5-point adjustment to game seven if the total is posted at 220. But you're right, it could be a little bit lower because typically game sevens are lower scoring, played, you know, it's more nerves. Teams are a little bit more defensive and lower scoring games. The worst game seven I can recall, and you might be able to recall one that was uglier.
Lakers-Celtics?
2009 Lakers-Celtics, one of the ugliest game sevens I've ever watched.
Yeah, 29 is 2010. That was an ugly one. That was maybe, without looking it up, 83-79 final. I'm pretty sure the Lakers won by four. I remember, I think it was either Sacha Vujacic or Artest hit a couple nervy free throws at the end to get it from 2-4. I think the line was 7 in that game. In Boston covered. The Lakers had to come from way down. Kobe shot like 6 of 21, and that's another perfect example. Pau Gasol really could have gotten MVP, but Kobe's Kobe, so they gave it to him. Pau Gasol was fantastic in that series, but I remember that being like an 83-79 kind of game. Really, really ugly.
Exactly right. 83-79. That was the score. And I know there were some people who thought Pau Gasol should have been the MVP of that series. That was 83-79, Will. And guess what? There were 52 points scored in the fourth quarter of that game. 30-22, wow. Lakers outscored the Celtics in the fourth quarter. Boston had a four-point lead going to the fourth. And, boy, that game was even uglier than that 83-79 final indicates. So that's the ugliest game seven I can recall, Celtics and the Lakers. And you're right, that was in June of 2010. That was Kobe's last title, right? June of 2010. I think that's the last time the Lakers won it before they won that cheap bubble championship in 2020, yes. Correct?
Yes, Kobe's last finals appearance. Man, it's hard to believe. We're getting old, huh? 15 years ago? Jeez, I remember that pretty clearly. It's scary to think that's 15 years ago.
Yeah, in that game, the Lakers actually shot 4 for 20 from 3. But they had 25 for 37 from the free throw line. They got some help from the officials to win that game. Kobe had 23. Met a world peace known as Ron Artest, who's at the game tonight.
He hit a big three.
Yep, he hit a big three. He had two threes in that game. 20 points. Pau Gasol, 19 points and 18 rebounds.
Yeah.
How about that?
Gasol deserved it. And is crazy, you know, meta world peace. He threw elbows and kind of could be a dirty player at times. He could have been a head case when he wasn't in the right situation. He was a winning player. He could defend. He made big shots. He was, he was on a winning team. He really was a contributing player. I remember Rasheed Wallace was on his last legs for the Celtics. That was that was a good series. That was a good series, an ugly game seven. But anytime you get a game seven, you're going to get max intensity on defense. Even that great Warriors Cavs, the last game seven in NBA Finals. That we've had. That was the great Warriors 73 wins. They went, I think, the last 5 minutes without scoring. That was a defensive struggle down the stretch. So, yeah.
Hey, you think you're getting old. I was covering the Bulls after their championship run. I was still covering the Bulls in 1990-2000. You remember the lockout shortened season of 50 games? Tim Floyd was coaching the Bulls. Ron Artest was a rookie. And I used to talk to Ron Artest in the locker room a lot. Great personality. That was one of the last guys you'd ever want to square off against in a street fight.
He's a
tough dude too. That's the type of guy you want on your team. I was a big Ron Artest fan, and he had a great career. He's there tonight to watch his Pacers try to force a game seven. By the way, while we've been talking, no one scored. So the first first 3+ minutes of the third quarter here, 0-0. Nobody can hit a shot. It's a brick fest. Aaron Nesmith drives the lane. Gets the ball stuffed by Chet Holmgren, and here go the Thunder on a break, and there's a foul in the backcourt. Played 3 minutes and 17 seconds. There have been no points scored here in the third quarter. Will, that's forced the live total all the way down to 199.5.
Wow. Yeah, and to follow back up on what you were saying about the Bulls, the lockout, I remember Jordan was thinking about coming back or not coming back to the Bulls, and somebody said Jordan was asked about Tim Floyd. He goes, the only Floyd I've ever heard of is Pink Floyd, and I'm not playing for him either, something like that. So that Jordan never played for the Bulls again. But, yeah, no scoring here. This has gotten really ugly here. Maybe a preview of things to come here in a game seven.
It was June 14th, 1998, when Jordan hit the shot to beat the Utah Jazz in game six in Salt Lake City. Hard to believe that's 27 years ago. Hey, before the line moves, the Sharp Plays at sharpplays.com is already there. They don't chase the market. They move it. You're not going to out-muscle billion-dollar sportsbooks or full-time pro bettors on your own, but with Sharp Plays, you don't have to. Powered by cutting-edge AI and trusted insider sources, the Sharp Plays delivers the edge that serious bettors rely on. You get free betting reports, real-time alerts, market-moving insights, all delivered right to you via email or X. And this is not some overnight startup. The Sharp Plays has a documented track record going back to 2011 with receipts, public logs, results right there on the site. SharpPlays.com, trusted by pros, watched by the books. Check them out now at SharpPlays.com. I know SharpPlays.com often featured on the Follow the Money show with Mitch Moss and Paul Howard. Will Hill, do we have a score yet in the third quarter? Has there been a bucket?
We have points, and it's not the Thunder chopping into the lead. It's the Pacers adding on to it. Halliburton banks a two-pointer. Layup from point-blank range in. I think OKC called a timeout. So Halliburton, you've been on this theme. You called it the other night, and you mentioned it tonight. That calf, which was a debilitating injury when he was 0 for 6 from the floor, that has recovered quite nicely, to say the least, here in Game 6.
Yeah, I thought he would play tonight. Injury was probably exaggerated. If you can play 34 minutes in Game 5, how are you going to sit out Game 6? And he seemed to be... And his post-game comments seemed to indicate that he was going to be on the floor tonight, so I expected that. He's a competitor, and he's showing up tonight, and so are the Pacers. Can't say the same for the Thunder. Back here in a couple minutes on VSIN Primetime.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Talk about no show when you have a chance to close the show out on the road. The OKC Thunder right now, a complete joke. Have not scored yet in the third quarter. 4.5 minutes into it, and it's 70-42, Pacers over the Thunder.
My goodness.
Let's run back some of those clips of all the prognosticators saying OKC in a sweep, OKC in five. This series is going seven. And it's going seven because the OKC Thunder stink tonight. Down right now by 28 points midway through the third quarter. Will Hill, I've heard enough talk about this OKC team being one of the all-time greats because they won 68 games during the regular season. This is pathetic. I don't want to hear about this being an all-time great team. If they win it, they're going to win Game 7 at home Sunday night, so be it. This is not an all-time great team, and I've said it before the series, and each game that passes is pounding that point home here, that this is still a young OKC team that's going to have to find a way on Sunday night.
I completely agree. From a betting standpoint, and it's been, what, 8-0, 6-0 Pacers here in the second half. So we mentioned Pacers. You could have gotten north of $3 at the half on the money line if you just thought more of the same in the second half. From a betting standpoint, do you get to the point where you're Dagnall and you start to think about pulling your guys? As I'm looking at DraftKings, they do let you parlay these player props live. SGA, Jalen Williams, Holmgren. Does Dagnall get to a point where say, you know what, this isn't our night. We no showed. I'm going to get my guys off the court. I don't need SGA, you know, rolling an ankle. I don't need Jalen Williams pulling a hamstring. We're not coming back. This is pointless. I know we got 2 days off in between. It's not a rest thing. It's just a risk-reward thing. There's no point in leaving my guys out here in a bloodbath. I'll get off the court, and I'll see you on Sunday. Do you think that – are we at that point? Are we close to that point where OKC pulls their guys?
I think you can pull your guys now. You're down 28 with 7 minutes to go in the third. Get ready for a game seven. Maybe play them for a couple more minutes here to see if you can go on like a 10-0 run to get back in the game, cut it to 18. Maybe play them for a few more minutes. At this point, there's no reason to leave SGA and all your starters out there when you're down 20-some points with
I agree.
5 minutes to go in the third quarter. Right now we're at the 7:15 mark. It's 6-0, believe it or not, in the third quarter. Only 6 points for the Pacers.
Yeah.
It feels like the Pacers have blown them out. They've actually only scored 6 points in the first 5 minutes of this third quarter. It's 70-42. It's just no indication whatsoever that the Thunder are going to show some life here and make a big run. By the way, the live line, Indiana minus 19.5. minus 2,500 on the money line, which actually seems a little bit cheap. And the take back on the Thunder, if you think that you can make a big rally and win this game, 11-1 odds, no thanks. The live total will 200.5. We haven't talked about the Pacers being an elite defensive team at any point throughout the playoffs. I thought there were a couple spurts in that Knicks series where the Pacers played really good defense. Will, how do you account for the Pacers here holding the Thunder to 42 points midway through the third quarter tonight? How do you explain
it? It's a really good Thunder team, but it's not a perfect Thunder team despite the record and the net rating. They don't have a three-point threat or enough three-point threats. These guys, Wiggins and Isaiah Joe, they can shoot at home, but they disappear on the road. So, you know, win or lose here, I think the Thunder need to use some of those assets, and they got a million picks. They got a million young players. You're going to need to consolidate or make a trade here to get a sharpshooter who can keep the defense honest and give SGA some breathing room and really just a knockdown shooter. We see that sometimes with these teams where, you know, Kentucky was like that in college a lot, where they got all these athletes, all these NBA guys, but you just need that one guy who can do nothing else, but just shoot, sit in the corner and shoot 43% from three and keep defenses honest and keep you from having one of these. I mean, look, they're one of 16 from three and three of 16 the other night, 4 of 32, the last two road games combined here. I mean, it's just not good enough here to win a championship.
Thunder 3 for 21 from the field right now, stuck in a miserable shooting slump, missed 18 of 21. And that's a dunk by Hartenstein right there off a lob from SGA. So they finally get on the board with about 6:55 to go here in the third quarter, 70-44. You're right about that. And that's one of the things when I talked about the advantages the Pacers had before this series. One was coaching with Rick Carlisle. The other was three-point shooting. Pacers were the number one three-point shooting team in the playoffs at 40% going to the finals. Thunder only at 33%. Will, you just brought up a great point. When you look down the Thunder roster, for all the young talent they have, for all the draft picks, all the depth, they don't have a knockdown shooter. They don't have a dead-eye three-point shooter. Last Friday night in Indianapolis, they were 3 for 16 from three. Tonight, 1 for 16 from three. If you're trying to find a flaw in this OKC team, that's it. Also, we talked about shooting regression in the pregame show tonight. Recall that? Thunder off a game in which they shot they made 14 threes and shot 44%. I said they're not that good a three-point shooting team. Well, that's the three-point shooting regression you were looking for, and we're watching it right now. This team 1 for 16 from three and down 70-45.
Yeah, and let's see. We got Holmgren on the bench, Jalen Williams on the bench, but SGA still out there. So, again, from a live betting standpoint, and you can go to DraftKings, and I was doing a couple shows earlier in the playoffs with Tim Murray where we sniffed this out, and we hit a couple 12-13-1 parlays live on the air where if you can get a sense that, all right, Denver's getting blown out, they're going to sit Jokic and Murray, and you start to parlay some of these things under, you can get some nice scores. I got a sense, barring, you know, an 8-10-point surge from OKC in the next 6 minutes, I would think probably fourth quarter on, this is just, you know, garbage time for OKC, and they just go to the bench and they say, SGA, Holmgren, Jalen Williams, we're not going to risk you pulling a hamstring, rolling an ankle. We're not going to just chase good money after bad. We're going to get out of here. We'll get ready for a game seven, and we'll win this thing at home.
TJ McConnell, 8 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists. And he dishes to Obi Toppin there for a three, so add one more assist to McConnell's total. I like the way he runs the half-court offense. Number one, he's really good at pushing the pace, but he also executes a half-court offense well, drives the lane a lot. For a little guard, TJ McConnell does it all. So I'm aware that you hit some of those parlays, player prop parlays previously in the playoffs. I got to ask you this. Why would a book allow you to do that? Why would a book at this point not take those numbers down? Don't you have to take all those player prop numbers down on the starters at this point?
From a better standpoint, I would advise them to leave them up. But from a book standpoint, I agree. At least, you know what, you leave them up to be played individually. That's one thing. But when you really leave yourself open to some big hits, if you let people parlay them. And what was one of the games, too, it was when Curry and the Warriors were down 3-1 to the Rockets. And Curry even said early in the game, hey, if this doesn't go our way, my team's old, my team's tired, I'm going to get my guys out of here.
Yeah.
That was the case. So less so in the finals, more so in the early rounds of the playoffs, but you do really leave yourself liable if you're going to leave these player props up. And again, I don't think we're quite there, but we're not far away. 25-point game. If you're Dagnall, you can tell yourself, hey, a 10-point run and we're within shouting distance. But at some point here, you got to figure he sees the big picture and pulls these guys.
Well, it's 5:40 mark of the third quarter right now, down 25. You're getting to that point. SGA is still in the game. He's bringing the ball up the court now, but he's walking the ball up the floor. You're down 25. No, he draws another cheap foul call.
He sure does.
It's just, I get tired of watching this stuff. The cheap foul calls he draws. He's good at it. Give him credit for it. But the officials take the bait every time. He got his arm locked there by it's probably a legitimate call. But he gets a lot of these calls, a lot of cheap calls we've seen tonight. That one's probably legit. But he's so good at drawing these plays from the defense. And, again, he doesn't have a lot of highlight reel plays, not a three-point shooter, not a dunker. But his mid-range games and his mid-range game and his ability to get to the free throw line is what makes him so good. He knocks him down 73-50.
Yeah, and again, most of these are fouls. It's not the problem that the calls are bad. It's just aesthetically it's not pleasing. But these are smart plays to get people off balance or their hand reaches in and you use that against them. And the next thing you know, you get two free throws. Most of these OKC points are coming from the free throws because, like we said, they cannot buy a bucket. So smart play from SGA to get to the line. And if you want to make smarter football bets this season, start with VSiN Pro. For a limited time, grab our football specialty early bird rate of just $175, giving you full access from now through the Super Bowl. That includes our NFL betting guide, the ultimate playbook with team breakdowns, power rating, and season-long best bets. You'll also get a daily best bets email from our expert host and guests, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, live and on-demand shows via the VSiN Watch app, deep analytics and betting tools on VSiN.com. Head to VSiN.com, get your early bird offer for $175, VSIN.com/subscribe. Pretty good deal, Matt. I'll be writing some stuff for that betting guide. It's a good reminder because I have a few bets to add to the betting guide, and I'm sure you'll do a great job with some of your contributions.
I just finished writing the AFC West last night. So filed the AFC West, and we're going to talk about that on the Follow the Money show next week a little bit, jump into that division a little bit. Also working on the best bets. Well, last year in the NFL betting guide, I put in two futures. Chargers win total over 8.5, and Eagles to win the NFC East. Those worked out. So I got to find two winners this time around. Do you have any idea what you're going to use? You know what? Hold that thought. We have to take a break.
Sure.
We have a half hour to go here. We have a timeout on the floor. SGA at the free throw line. Have you heard that before?
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Shai Gilgeous-Alexander nails a mid-range jumper, pushes off on the defender, and gets a foul call and one. He's got 21 points, 7-for-8 at the free throw line, but the Pacers still lead by 21, 78-57, as TJ McConnell runs the offense like a wizard for the Pacers. 21-point lead, 3:50 to go. At this point, still a little bit too early to pull the starters. We're at that point where it felt like if the Pacers stretched this thing out to 30, you had to pull the starters. They didn't quite get there. Now it's 21. So I think that OKC starters are going to stay in the game for a little bit longer here. Will, what do you think?
Yeah, and it got to 18. It looked like Nembhard hit a three. So that's the problem when you build yourself a 28-point deficit. You just have to be so perfect where, all right, you cut into it, and it's 22, it's 18, you got some momentum. One stretch where you miss a couple shots, you know, two possessions in a row, or you give up a three, that really puts a pin in that momentum and pops the balloon pretty quickly. So 21-point game now. Jump ball here as McConnell got tied up. It will go to, knocked out of bounds. Looks like OKC is going to have the ball. But OKC still with a lot of work to do, but Indiana at least giving them a reason to leave their starters in, giving them a little bit of a surge here as they cut it as close to 18. And I don't know, what's a goal for OKC? How do you play this? Try to think just little chunks, try to cut it to 13, 14 with like 8 minutes to go, and then who knows and play it from there?
No doubt about it. If you cut this down to, let's say, you cut it down to 12 going into the fourth quarter, you'd be ecstatic with that. You're down 21 right now. Look at TJ McConnell drive the lane, throws up a jumper. He does miss that one. It's 78-57. If you can cut this to 12 going to the fourth quarter, I think – you would really like your chances. Maybe it's a smart play by the Pacers here just to let the Thunder hang around so all those starters for the Thunder have to play the entire fourth quarter and don't get the rest tonight. Just let them hang around, think they have a shot here so they can't pull the starters. You know what? There's still some player prop numbers we got to talk about here because a lot of people bet these props, Will. And going to the fourth quarter, you got some big decisions. There was a lot of money on T.J. McConnell over 10.5. He's stuck on 8 points. There was a lot of money on Pascal Siakam over 20.5. He's stuck on 13.
Yeah, and that's the thing. When you get, you're betting these overs, you know, it can look good for a while. It can look good, and you want to root for points. But injuries, blowouts, ejections, there's a lot of ways, bad performances. There's a lot of ways for unders to get derailed. So, again, up to a 23-point game now. Indy looks with that 5-0 run here to have stemmed the tide. OKC has a layup rim in and out. It's going to be Pacers ball. So what was looking like possibly a mini comeback, a mini run by OKC, again, when you build yourself this big of a deficit, you don't leave yourself any margin for error to give up a 5-0 run. A 5-0 run pretty much finishes you again. So right on the brink here of OKC, do we go for it or do we retreat? We'll see how it goes. But again, if this gets up to 25, 26 by the start of the fourth quarter, you got to figure Dagnall's got his finger on the switch ready to pull the plug here.
T.J. McConnell drives baseline. This is Ben Shepherd who misses a three. 80-57, Pacers lead with 2 minutes to go. The live number is 16.5. Well, it's tough to bet a number like that because it could go either way so easily here, where the Thunder could make a big push, Pacers could pull their starters. I don't even know what to do with a live number like that at this point. Pacers up by 23. I think it's tough to take the 16.5 because you got to think the Thunder is probably going to pull their starters. 4 minutes into the fourth quarter, if they can't make a run here, they probably got to do it pretty soon. So
Do you really want to be betting garbage time with a bunch of backups? You're at the mercy of the gambling gods at that point. We all like betting, but we don't like guessing. So not a play for me one way or another. If I had to take it or lay it, I'd probably lay it because I just don't know. OKC, I just don't know if they can shoot well enough to put a dent in this lead. I mean, just look at the numbers here. It feels like all of their numbers are just coming from the free throw line. This is 15 of 17 from the line. They're 20 of 52 from the field. They're 2 of 17 from three. They're shooting 38% from the floor. If it's not for free throws, I mean, they're in the 40s in this game. They're not shooting the ball. It's just been a brick fest here from the Thunder.
I've gotten some cheap calls, too, some cheap free throw attempts. 15 for 17 at the line, 57 points. Isaiah Joe just knocked down a three-pointer a minute ago. So the Thunder, like you said, now 2 for 17 from three. It's not like the Pacers are shooting the lights out. They've got 11 threes. But when you outscore a team by 27 points behind the three-point line, that's significant. Pacers 11 for 31, 35.5% from three. The turnovers have been important tonight, too. 7 for the Pacers, 16 for the Thunder. And at halftime, it was 12-2. Thunder had 12 turnovers. Pacers had 2. So 81-57 here with a minute and a half to go in the third quarter. Got to be getting close to the point where OKC is going to pull these starters and start playing for Game 7 on Sunday night. Will, one more time here, you and I can speculate before we start to see a number pop up because I think a book's going to put a number up here pretty soon on a Game 7 opener.
Yeah.
It might be DraftKings before anyone else. It's 84-57. Pacers hit a three to go up 27. Goodbye. I'm not even sure these Thunder starters need to play at all in the fourth quarter when you're down 27. But the three went down from Pascal Siakam from the top. If you bet his points prop, you like to see that. Now he's up to 16 points. Pacers are going to be pulling some starters here pretty soon, too. That's a 9-0 run to go up 27 points. Well, I'm going to guess OKC opens, I'm going to say 8. I'm going down from 8.5. I'm going to say OKC 8, total of 220. What will you go with?
I'll go 8.5.
Okay. It's either eight or eight and a half, right? It's got to be 8 or 8.5. I'd be a little surprised if it's 9. 87-60.
What would you do?
Well, I don't know what I'm going to do because I've got OKC to win in 7 and 5-1. If you give me 9, I'm probably taking the points with the Pacers. Obi Toppin with a three here, 27-point lead as the third quarter winds down. 90-60. Pacers taking a 30-point lead to the fourth quarter. Thunder not hanging around anymore. We're going to have a game seven on Sunday night. Go ahead and put up the opening line. 90-60 going to the fourth. I don't know. Does the blowout tonight shrink the point spread a little bit in game seven on Sunday night? I don't know. What do you think, Will?
Maybe slightly, but again, these things are pretty much by the numbers where, what, game one was, well, game one got up to 10.5, and then game two, because of the zigzag, well, wow, it is 90-60. I will say it now. It is irresponsible if SGA, Holmgren, Jalen Williams
I agree.
Are on the court anymore. They don't need to be out there. You're not going to outscore this team by 30 in their building in the fourth quarter. I know it's the NBA. Comebacks happen. 30-point fourth quarter comebacks don't happen, though. 30 is the point of no return. Put in the scrubs, the water boy, the cheerleader. I don't need SGA, who's always hitting the ground, always hitting the deck, you know, trying to draw fouls, getting bumped, plays with a lot of contact. I don't need him landing the wrong way, rolling an ankle. Next thing you know, I let this series get away from me. You know what? Surrender, retreat, give them their game, and see you at home on Sunday.
No doubt about it. I couldn't have said it better, because what happens if you put SGA out there in the floor in the fourth quarter and he comes down on somebody's foot and sprains his ankle? That'd be an all-time dumb coaching move, right, to get one of your starters injured in the fourth quarter when you're down 30. These guys should not even see the floor here in the fourth. At least SGA, Jalen Williams, those are the two guys you definitely have to get off the floor. So the live number is all the way up to 23.5.
Wow.
Total 203.5. If you want to make a quick $100, how about minus 50,000 on the Pacers on the money line? What do you think?
If you let me borrow it, I'll have it back to you by tomorrow.
Get it from Chris Massaro. I think he's got it.
Yeah.
We're going to try to get Chris on the show tomorrow night. You want to get Chris on the show to talk about the highly rated OKC Thunder?
He's going to have his Kevin Durant Oklahoma City Thunder jersey on, and he'll join us. He'll do a good job because he's got a lot of strong opinions. One thing, another thing to keep an eye on here is we're in blowout city. Remember, it was a 22-point game at half. The money line for the second half on the Pacers, which we discussed, was plus 320.
You did, yeah.
You're on the right side of that. If you took a shot on the plus 320, you can kind of go for a middle. You can hedge out and get some profit, or you can just let it ride and figure it's garbage time, and the Pacers are in good shape. So that plus 320 is looking good right now.
Quick update from the CFL. We had Ian Cameron on the show in the first hour tonight. He said play the Montreal Alouettes over team total at 27.5 and over for the game at 48. Alouettes lead the Edmonton Elks 24-6 at halftime. So pretty good start here for Ian Cameron's bet and kickoff CFL week three. How about Xander Bogaerts with a rare homer? That's only his fourth of the year.
Wow.
Bogaerts has been, for lack of a better word, kind of a bum for the Padres so far this season. But he hits a homer tonight. He had a double last night. Maybe his bat's starting to wake up a little bit. Padres lead the Dodgers 1-0. Top of the third, so Yoshinobu Yamamoto gets hit up by Bogaerts early in this game. Dodgers trying to finish off a four-game sweep of the Padres. All right, quick break here on VSIN Primetime. We're headed to the fourth quarter. NBA Finals Game 6. Pacers up by 30. 24.5-point favorites for the game, and we will have a Game 7 on Sunday night.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Garbage time in Indiana, 93-65. Will Hill, you got to be happy with Mark Dagno, the OKC coach. He did exactly what you said he should do.
So far, now Carlisle's not happy about something. It looks like he called a timeout, 28-point game. But that should still be it for these guys, right? SGA, Jalen Williams, Holmgren, all on the bench to start the fourth quarter. 28's not enough to sucker you into saying, all right, let me try to make one more run at this, one more run at the blackjack table. Let me throw my last 50 and see if I can, you know, win six or seven hands in a row. That would be stupid, correct?
Correct. It would be stupid.
Yes.
Because the Thunder scored 17 points in the second quarter, 18 in the third quarter. They're not going to wipe out a 30-point deficit in the fourth quarter. You got to play for game seven right now. You got to get your starters rested, and his starters did not see the floor to open this quarter. and they should not see the floor at all the rest of the way. So you would think that the player prop numbers for the OKC starters have been decided at this point. Chet Holmgren finished with 4 points. Thanks for showing up, Chet. 2 for 9. 4 points. Jalen Williams, 16 points. He actually played okay tonight, even though he's 0 for 4 from 3 off his 40-point game. Big-time regression off the 40-point game. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, 7 for 8 at the free-throw line. 8 turnovers. Well, 8 turnovers for SGA and 21 points. Not much else to speak of here. The Thunder right now just got a 3 from someone off the bench. I believe that was
I think Wiggins.
Was it Williams or Wiggins? One of those guys.
I think
guys.
It was Wiggins.
Wiggins hit one earlier in the game. The box is showing him 1 for 4. Anyway, 4 for 22. Thunder from 3 right now, and they trail 93 to 65. Pacers, 14 for 36 from 3, 37%. Let's check in on T.J. McConnell. His points prop was 10.5. He's got 10. He's played 20 minutes tonight, 5 for 8 from the field, 8 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 steals. Will Hill thinks T.J. McConnell's live to be NBA Finals MVP, and I do too. You've got him at – during this show, you bet him at 140-1 to be MVP, and that number's down to what now?
They just pulled the odds, so I'll bring it up in a second. I will say this at DraftKings. I got it 140-1, so who knows? I don't.
It was around 80, right, before it pulled off.
Yeah, it was down to 80, but he's going quiet here. He's going to need a monster Game 7 to have any chance.
Of course, of course.
Not feeling as great about that.
Yeah, but yeah. I mean, that's the thing. That's what you're betting on. That's why you're getting 140-1 odds. He's going to have to have a huge Game 7 to get it. Yeah.
Sure. And I did notice at DraftKings, you can only bet overs on some of these players now. Toppin 20+, Nesmith 18+, McConnell 15+, no unders and no Thunder players. So they're finally guarding themselves against the idea of, hey, parlay all these unders. These guys aren't coming back. But those parlays were there for the taking, you know, 15 minutes ago or so, whenever we talked about this. And if you parlay those starters under, just keep an eye on them. Those are all looking good. If those, you know, those don't, if these guys don't come back and you parlay them at the time thinking, hey, you might pull these guys and they might not come back, you're in good shape here to hit another one. So always keep an eye on that. Oh, not that the season's going to be on for much longer. I guess next postseason, keep a reminder, these books do a sloppy job. Blowouts, starters might come out. They leave up player props, they leave up unders, and they let you parlay them. Can be a very dangerous game to play from a sportsbook perspective.
Watching some of the highlights of Tyrese Halliburton tonight. He's got 14 points, 5 assists. He's running around like a deer out there. I mean, it's comical to think this guy was a game-time decision and he might not play. There's no way that this right calf strain and this ankle injury is that big of a deal. He played 34 minutes in Game 5. I'm going to go back to what I said initially, Will. I think the injury was an excuse for how poorly he played. Because look at the way he's running around out there tonight. You can't tell me this guy was questioning whether he could even take the floor tonight.
Yeah, what was his player prop? His point prop, 12 and a half?
Went down to
12
and a half.
So
went down to 12 and a half, and he's got 14, so he went over.
Yeah, so he goes over by a bucket, and good thing he gets that last bucket if you had the over, because that's the only thing keeping him. I can't imagine he goes back into the game. And if you parlayed all of his unders, the points is the only thing that got you, because 5 rebounds, 1 assist. He's having a quiet night otherwise. So that one, you know, that final made shot, that made shot is the only thing that's putting his point prop over. So that one barely sneaks over. Again, a lot has to go right when you're betting these overs. Blowouts, ejections, injuries, poor performance. There's a lot more ways to win unders. I know people want to root for overs, root for points. It's more fun to cheer for a three-pointer than to cheer for a three-pointer to miss. You know, it's like in a football game. You want to root for touchdowns. You don't want to root for punts, but it's you know, that's why sometimes there's value on these unders, even though this one got over with the points.
You root for punts if you bet the under. That's about it.
Yes.
93-66 with 9 minutes to go. All right, introducing the $500 trifecta from GBank First Bet and VSIN. All you need to do is open a GBank Visa signature credit card in the first 90 days, deposit and play through $1,000 of first bet to trigger the $500 try. You receive $200 in cashback rewards on your GBank Visa signature credit card. First bet will give you a $100 deposit match. VSIN completes the trifecta with a free VSIN Pro subscription through October 31st, a $200 value. That's the $500 try from GBank First Bet and VSIN. Go to VSIN.com/GBank. Again, VS VSIN.com/GBank. It's a one-time promotion. Limited to customers opening a new account in response to this offer. Will not apply to requests to convert existing accounts. Apply today. Terms and conditions do apply. We usually talk about best bets in this segment. Will Hill, you and I got a best bet on the Pacers plus the points tonight. I guess we should have played the money line too. But yeah, we got the Pacers plus the points, and that's going to be an easy rocking chair winner tonight. Ian Cameron joined the show in the first hour, and he had a best bet tonight on Montreal Alouettes over 27.5 team total, over 48 for the game. That's on the right track. We got a message here from Corey Ager of North Dakota, who sends us a tweet and says, I can't wait to jump into the CFL until the NFL preseason and college football starts. Now's a great time to jump in and bet the CFL. In fact, Ian Cameron's one of the sharpest CFL bettors there is. At one point, he was moving the market with the CFL plays. I'm not sure if he's doing that right now, but I know in past years he has. And you can follow Ian Cameron at Bobano Bets. He joined the show in the first hour tonight, and he's going to be on with us pretty much every week throughout the CFL season. I did follow one Ian Cameron tip in the preseason, Will. I took the Montreal Alouettes at 8-1 to win the Grey Cup. So I got some futures working in the CFL on the Montreal Alouettes. Breakaway dunk by Benedict Mathurin, 99-71. Will, save the NFL talk for tomorrow night's show. You and I are going to talk about the VSiN NFL betting guide and some futures plays we're thinking about putting in there and some futures we're thinking about making. I'll tell you, the only futures bet I've got, the only bet I've made, I'm thinking about making a bunch, but the only one I've made up to this point is one I made about 2 months ago, and that's on the Rams 30-1 to win the Super Bowl. And that 30-1 number is long gone on the Rams, so that's a team I do like. Will, how about you? Best bets, anything coming up tomorrow? Game 7, MLB, that we're going to be talking about Friday night. Got anything for baseball?
I'll just throw this one out there. I know I gave out McConnell, but I just think from the value standpoint at DraftKings, SGA minus 190 to win finals MVP. If you're going to bet something minus 9, I don't want the minus 9. If they're going to win the game, I still think it's going to be SGA. I think that's a little cheap.
Yep.
SGA minus 190, I think, is a good value play. And look, I wouldn't mind if you laid the minus 190 with SGA and you took the plus 9. I guess you could middle yourself, but I don't see Jalen Williams winning this award. I don't think anyone on OKC is eligible, so I think SGA minus 190 is a good bet. Not to derail the conversation, but you covered the NBA for a while. You covered the Bulls. I'm curious, just weird thing that crossed my mind. What happens to all of the champagne and all the celebration stuff that's in the building right now? Do they wheel it out? Do they hide it? Where does that stuff go?
The T-shirts that say OKC NBA champions.
You got a lot of champagne too, beer, all that stuff.
I know. They just have to put it on the plane, take it back to Oklahoma City, keep it on ice, keep it on ice until Sunday night, thinking that they're going to. You know, home teams. I don't have the exact number, but this has been true for a long time. Home teams in Game 7 win. I think it's 84%, 84-85%, right? Home teams in Game 7.
It's taken a little bit of a hit recently, but it's, 80% in that range. It's been a pretty strong trend.
How many Game 7s have we had this year during the playoffs? I know we had Nuggets at home over the Clippers in a Game 7. How many other Game 7?
And Nuggets, Thunder.
Thunder won Game 7 at home. Nuggets won Game 7 at home. Is that it?
Nuggets, Clippers, Nuggets, Thunder. I feel like I'm missing one, but I'm not sure. Did we have one? Only the one in Game 1? I think it was just those two, unless I'm missing an obvious one. I think it was just those two, both involving the Nuggets.
Thunder going to have another Game 7 at home on Sunday night. Stay tuned to VSiN following primetime for Cashing Out with Greg Hoops Peterson. I think 7 years ago, Hoops moved to Vegas. It was 100 miles from the city, and he blew his tire. He had to change his tire. Things have turned out okay for Greg Peterson. He's going to be on at 11 p.m. Eastern tonight. VSiN by the books with Super Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis at 7 a.m. and Gil Alexander in the morning. Pacers up 100-73. Stay tuned for Hoops.